I'm Lauren Sega, Manager of Communications for Homeport, a nonprofit affordable housing developer in Central Ohio. We're in one of the fastest growing areas in the country, and while we've seen the growth, we've felt the pains that come along with it, especially when it comes to housing all of us and our incoming neighbors. Each month, we're interviewing local experts on the issues, the barriers, and the solutions around housing and development, hoping to shed some light on how we got where we are and what we can do to create a future that houses everyone. This is Level With Us. Today we are back with Michael Corey, Executive Director of the Human Service Chamber of Franklin County. He's here to give a first look at how the local nonprofit sector is preparing for a change in presidential administrations. Former President Donald Trump won re-election last week. I want to thank Michael for putting in plain terms what that means for our health and human services organizations and the steps ahead to ensure continuity of service for our community. Let's lay the foundation.
We actually just had a impromptu membership meeting with our organizations to try and get our finger on the pulse as much as we can of where they're at. The health and human services nonprofit sector here and across the country knows there are going to be enormous changes in funding, in policy, and in rhetoric. And that's all going to pose a substantial challenge for the sector. Which was already facing a difficult landscape from a funding and workforce perspective going into next year, and now it's going to be on an issue-by-issue level. A lot of folks here and across the country from the conversations and things I've read thus far indicate there's going to be a lot of scrambling to prepare for the change that will happen quickly next year. The first round of the Trump administration wasn't the friendliest to the health and human services sector. That is not a secret. But there were significant limitations to what the Trump administration could achieve through policy because it didn't have a significant enough majority in the Senate to pass a lot of the things it wanted to pass.
The most famous instance of this was the attempted repeal of a significant chunk of the Affordable Care Act, which failed when the late Senator John McCain voted to preserve it.
The White House's party will not have that problem this time around. So there will be executive action in addition to agency changes, in addition to legislation and budgetary changes, which weren't feasible in the scale and scope that they will be this time around. But one of the things we talked about this morning was what areas of the health and human services sector are going to need to anticipate cuts in funding or changes to programs, if not elimination of programs. And the most obvious example right now are all the organizations that are refugee resettlement organizations. And we know that because the first Trump administration very famously brought down the level of refugee resettlement that was permitted in the United States to historic lows by the end of the administration. And there is every indication that there will be a swift return to those historic lows, if not an elimination altogether, once the administration moves in on January 20th.
The Trump administration's record on refugee resettlement saw a sharp drop in refugee admissions from nearly 85,000 in former President Obama's last year to nearly 12,000 in 2020.
There's also anticipation that refugees and immigrants that are here with various temporary status are likely to have that status revoked quickly. And a lot of our membership, whether they're directly in the immigrant refugee space or not, is bracing for that. The federal government is a key driver of revenue and programming. And that's going to change in a way that it has not changed in the history of this country. there are always challenges no matter who's in Washington. There are always challenges no matter who's in the White House. There have been plenty of challenges over the last 4 years during the Biden administration that the sector's had to evolve to. In past White Houses, no matter the party, you always have to adjust to what's going on, and you have to figure it out, you have to advocate, you have to push and find the alliances to get things done. One of the open questions is, what will the legislative agenda be that pairs with the Trump administration's agenda? And the only guiding document that we have to look at to get a sense of that is something called Project 2025, which is a voluminous agenda, for lack of a better word, that highlights many of the changes that folks around the Trump administration and certainly within it will likely want to pursue. And a lot of elements of it would directly affect the Health and Human Services sector. But we don't know yet which of those elements would be prioritized in the first 100 days or first year. An element of helping people find housing is called rapid rehousing. An element is not the appropriate word. A program, a strategy that is funded by the federal government to help house people is called rapid rehousing. And Project 2025 would eliminate funding for those efforts.
And now it's time to level up. To advocate for our local nonprofit sector, Michael says we'll be leaning on our relationships with local and state officials.
The DeWine administration has really strong relationships with much of the Health and Human Services sector. And I would anticipate that there will be some areas where the state will want to be involved in supporting the Health and Human Services sector. For example, the DeWine administration cares deeply about children and has been a body of government, an office of government that has cared about food access, mm-hmm. particularly for children. One of the changes that's expected out of the feds are potential adjustments to SNAP food stamps to make it harder to access. I would hope that the state will want to be involved there, but I don't know. It's too early to say. Mm-hmm. But generally speaking, one of the things that all of us will need to do is go to our state partners, go to our local partners and say, okay, here's where things are going to change at the federal level. What can we do here in Ohio, here in Columbus, here in Franklin County, here in the immediate region to fill the void as much as possible, knowing that there is no bucket large enough to fill the void of the cessation or decline of federal funds that will come from so many different directions.
I first interviewed Michael for episode 3, an episode still aptly named, The Pursuit of Precedented Times. Then we talked about the list of challenges already facing nonprofits, a lack of funding due to the lapse of American Rescue Plan dollars, along with workforce shortages that have spread our already thin resources.
Before we knew the election results and the likely changes in funding, a lot of organizations have already or had already begun looking at how are we going to continue providing services and continue operating, knowing that there are going to be significant financial challenges. Some agencies will close. Some agencies will have to merge with others. Some agencies will have to partner in different ways. Some agencies are going to have to adjust their business models. There's going to be a lot of contraction, for sure. And that is an extremely difficult thing to say out loud that no one wants, because we're already not meeting the need that is out there. And the resources are not there. They were not there. They're certainly not going to be there to allow the sector and its partners to meet the needs of people in the community, because we're a growing community with diverse needs.
Because of this, there is going to be a considerable need for help from volunteers, There will have to be people galvanizing that help, organizing it, coordinating it, directing it. Philanthropy, funding organizations with missions you care about, will also be critical. Even if you can't give monetarily, there are a lot of organizations in need of supplies like clothes, food, and more.
One of the things that came up in the last couple of days, anticipating tariffs and therefore a spike in costs once again, tariffs that the Trump administration has promised they're going to institute quickly. One of the things that's come up is, hey, can the chamber double down on basically creating a marketplace where the community can donate items that are necessary for everything from business operations for nonprofits as well as more service-oriented goods, and help really amplify the call for the things that agencies would always be already be giving to their clients: hygienic products, food, clothing, etc. And I think that's a small example of something that will be helpful for communities to be able to do.
In addition to generosity of time and money, advocacy will be an important step.
If elected officials and business leaders and other decision makers are hearing from the masses outside of the organizations that, hey, we need to make sure we are still prioritizing affordable housing, and we're still ensuring people have access to food, and we're still ensuring people have access to healthcare, that collective advocacy and push is going to be as important as ever, even if it's going to be as difficult as ever.
Ultimately, Michael says, it'll be about looking out for your neighbors and community at large.
We need to make sure we maintain our values as a community in protecting one another and standing up for one another. And that will be difficult. But that won't keep doors open for nonprofits to keep helping people, but that will help people feel safer.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to be really important.
So in the next 3 months, what are the next steps we're looking at?
We're going to try and convene elected officials at the local and state level. We're going to reach out to our current and new members of Congress representing our area. We're going to reach out to business leaders. We're going to reach out to funders all in the next 6 to 8 weeks. And we're going to share what our members are telling us. And we're going to do what our members tell us that they need us to do to try and be helpful. That is not the most concrete of answers, but that is the plan right now. We're going to rally around one another. We're going to do everything we can to keep helping people as a sector. That was a resounding message of this morning's meeting. We're going to figure this out. We're going to work together. We're going to try whatever we need to try to keep helping people and keeping people safe. But our charge today is to, in my view, respond to what the sector is telling us and help stabilize the sector as destabilization perhaps emerges with some of the changes that will come in the first 100 days of the administration and thereafter.
As has been said, there are challenges with any administration. But Michael remains hopeful for a future that leverages community advocacy to maintain an infrastructure that serves those in need.
I told our members at the end of our call today this, and I'll happily share it with your listeners. Whenever there has been a significant challenge, the nonprofit sector has rallied together and the community has rallied together with them. I have every expectation that that will happen again. And that is true regardless of the political stripe of the person in this community that wants to be engaged.
Level With Us is brought to you by Homeport and is recorded, mixed, and edited by Lauren Sega. All sources are in the show notes. Homeport creates strong communities by developing quality, affordable homes on a cornerstone of dignity, security, and opportunity. To learn more, or if you'd like to support our mission, visit us at homeportohio.org.